Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
It's a great honor to have Prime Minister Mark Carney with us. As you know, just a few days ago, he won a very big election in Canada. And I think I was probably the greatest thing that happened to him, but I can't take full credit. His party was losing by a lot, and he ended up winning. So I really want to congratulate him. It was probably one of the greatest comebacks in the history of politics, maybe even greater than mine. Yeah. But I want to just congratulate you. That was a great election, actually. We were watching it with interest, and I think Canada chose a very talented person, a very good person, because we spoke before the election quite a few times. And it's an honor to have you at the White House and the Oval Office. And you see the new and improved Oval Office as it becomes more and more beautiful with love. You know, we handle it with great love. And 24 karat gold, that always helps too. Right?
So, President Trump sitting next to the Prime Minister of Canada, the new Prime Minister of Canada, Carney, in the Oval Office, and watching as he is welcoming the Prime Minister there. It's interesting to watch the Prime Minister. He just kind of looks at him. He's respectful. He's not super agreeable. He doesn't look to me like he is ready to crawl in Donald Trump's lap and do what he's told. But that certainly wasn't the way that election went in Canada. What does this mean going forward? Donald Trump has certainly talked about the 51st state in Canada, called Justin Trudeau governor many times. A lot of folks didn't really appreciate the way the president was speaking about Canada. And the question is always, is he joking or is he serious? And when you can't tell, Donald Trump usually rides that out for quite some time. So he sits with the Canadian Prime Minister right now in the White House, and they are making deals. And we have our friend, former United States Senator Jim Talent, on with us right now. He is also the chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council. Senator, thank you for the time today. It's good to have you back.
Thank you, Annie. It's always good to be on.
Well, I appreciate that. When you're watching Canada visit the White House and their new prime minister, do you have hopes? Are you hopeful for anything to come out of this meeting between these two gentlemen?
Well, I'm expecting a favorable adjustment in American-Canadian relationships. Now, I don't think that'll be completely done with this one meeting, but the Canadians need the American export market. And I think there might well have been an adjustment before now, except that Carney's party, the Liberals, very effectively used this issue to help them win the election. Now that the election's over, I kind of expect them to get down to business.
So all of the rhetoric from the President of the United States about the 51st state, and, you know, he speaks what seems to be at least somewhat seriously about annexing Canada into our country. When you hear all that, is there any part of that that you think is seriously intended?
No, I mean, I really don't. And my guess is, I don't know, you know what? I shouldn't guess on what the president was thinking then or is thinking now. I think the discussions about Greenland are much more serious because that's based on a really, I think, a correct evaluation of the situation. Greenland's very strategic. You didn't ask about Greenland, but it's strategically located, has some really important critical minerals. Denmark's not capable of defending it or helping it prosper, and we are. It makes a lot of sense going forward, but with Canada, no. You know, I think, you know, the president is authentic and spontaneous, which is all to the good, but sometimes not so good, because I think in this instance he gave the Liberals, who in my opinion, I mean, have misgoverned Canada, he gave them an election issue. But now that it's over, I would expect, as I said, them to get down to business.
What can you tell us about the Prime Minister from Canada? He's new. He's not Justin Trudeau. That's what people are pretty familiar with here in the United States, of course, in Canada as well. What do you know about Carney?
Well, I mean, he's an international financial leader. I would hope that he would be a little bit more practical than Trudeau was, particularly at the end. I just think Canadians were fed up with Trudeau, and I think they probably still are. That's the other reason the election changed, is they got rid of him and switched off to Carney. And I would think Carney understands international trade. I would hope relationships can improve. And, you know, the Canadians have to decide for themselves how they want to be governed. But, you know, I would think he's a person that President Trump can make a deal with.
Senator Talent, this is Ryan Wiggins. Kind of reset for us. What exactly is Trump trying to get out of these meetings or out of Canada right now? And then what is Mark Carney's job to try to negotiate? What is it centered on right now?
Canada has a lot of, even in a world where a lot of countries are protectionist, they have a lot of uniquely protectionist regimes in place. For example, their dairy market is basically a closed cartel. I mean, you really can't buy dairy products. You have to buy like allotments. It's all designed to protect their farmers and their existing processing system. And that's very unfair to us. There are other areas as well where they've closed us off. And this is classic. It's one of the reasons the administration is doing what it's doing, that other countries not only have higher tariff levels, but have other non-tariff barriers to trade. And at the same time, we basically don't. And so they have access to our market. We don't have access to theirs. And it's not fair. I mean, the idea of reciprocity in trade has been around for a long time. Now, Trump administration is the only one that's really vigorously pursuing it. But I never thought, even when I was in office, I never thought it made sense that, you know, the Europeans impose almost a 10% tariff on our cars, and we basically have none on theirs. So there's a lot that can be done in this area, and Trump recognizes that other countries need our market, generally speaking, more than we need theirs.
There's another Canada question for you, a little bit different topic within Canada, though. Alberta is changing the way that it goes about it, getting a referendum to secede from Canada, apparently.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Is there any reality that actually could happen, that Alberta would leave Canada?
I wouldn't think so. There are tensions within their system, just as there are within ours. But, and I, you know, I've probably been too critical already of an allied government. But I mean, the Liberal government not only governed irresponsibly from a financial attack situation, the rest of it, but took highly coercive stances on controversial things, like, you know, what they did with the truckers convoy, for example, and still doing. And then debanking average Canadians because they didn't like their extremely oppressive COVID policies. And they've gone in even heavier than our, you know, elites have for some of these esoteric issues like the transgender issue and the rest of it. And it's causing a lot of disdain among Canadians outside of the major cities who don't like it. And there's a lot of tension. And I would hope that Carney would take, I mean, he's not going to wholesale abandon his party's position, but I would hope he'd take a more practical attitude towards this because, you know, we need a Canada that is growing, a Canada that's a partner on security issues for us. They've allowed their defenses to atrophy. That's true of all the Western allies, including us to some degree. And it would be nice if they fixed that as well.
We're speaking with former United States Senator Jim Talent, chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council as well. From this meeting that took place with the prime minister and Donald Trump, of course, the press was in there, and the president teased a, quote, very, very big announcement, and then went on to say, quote, we're going to have a very, very big announcement to make, like as big as it gets, and I won't tell you on what. And it's very positive. And I thought maybe you might have some sort of speculation maybe on the area of the world, if he's going to be going to Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Qatar. What could we possibly be seeing from this administration?
Well, I can't resist taking a wild guess, and I will in a minute. I will say it's unfortunate that I missed my morning call with the president today. He usually phones me to discuss the day's business and get my opinion on it. He is going to the Middle East for the first time in mid-May, I believe on the 13th, and they're working out the details now. He's going to be in Saudi Arabia and in Qatar, and that's going to be an economically oriented trip, and I doubt it's what he's referring to, because that's still, what, about a week off or more than that. It sounds like this announcement's more imminent, but mm-hmm. I think he's going to announce there an awful lot of investment in the United States, in the American industrial base, in technology development. It's very much in the interest of both countries to do that. And he's been very aggressive. If you look at his executive orders on this, they're really making it easier for other countries to invest in the United States. I mean, they're dead serious about onshoring these jobs and using the momentum of it to rebuild the industrial base. And I just applaud every measure to that effect. We have learned a bitter lesson in the last 20 years that when you give away too much of your manufacturing, not only do people lose jobs, and then they're in a position where they can't get as good of ones in the service sector, but you also undermine everything else about your economy, because if you can't make things, your people are less secure, and you can't scale the ideas you come up with. And over time, you lose the ability to come up with ideas.
Hmm. Senator Talent, I want to ask a little bit more about that particular topic, because we talk about tariffs, generally speaking, in the category of economic issues for the country. And the Trump administration's focus on reinvigorating the American economy is largely based on DOGE, making the tax cuts permanent, and his tariff strategy. But what I hear you saying is that the tariffs are going to create a system of a system in the United States that might actually make us a more safe and secure country as well.
Yeah, there's definitely a security component to sustaining your manufacturing base, particularly when we're living in a world with China in it. Because you lose the ability, and they target this. I mean, they're very deliberate, China, about what they're doing. They're trying to control key sectors of the economy of the future. So, I mean, here's one example. So they subsidize their pharmacy manufacturers, and they undercut, therefore, our pharmaceutical producers. And so our pharmaceutical producers end up buying the generics, at least the generics, from China, and pretty soon we can't produce drugs anymore. And even the Department of Defense, for its service members, relies on pharmaceuticals, many of which source from China, or precursors at least, which only China produces. Same thing with critical minerals. There's a lot of areas that the Chinese are trying to control. And so, yes, it's a national security issue. And then it's also a question of your general ability of the economy to produce over time, because, I mean, semiconductors are another example, of course. Now, that's in Taiwan, but we can't produce the chips we need. If the balloon should go up over Taiwan, you know, we're going to run out of chips pretty quickly. So the administration is trying to rebuild that. So, Biden did some things in that area as well. The CHIPS Act, for example, was aimed at that. You'll see some bipartisan support for this going forward, I think, once we get past the reconciliation process.
Last quick question before we let you go. We're speaking with Senator Jim Talent. The president has so many different things from a foreign policy standpoint moving at the same time. Is he doing a good job? Is there any area that you think he needs to be paying more attention?
Yeah, I'd say he's doing a very good job. You know, we could talk about the Middle East for half an hour. He has a real instinct for that area. I think he understands it. I think they understand him. The tough nut, Annie, is going to be to get it to an agreement in Ukraine. And I've been saying this for months and months. A lot of focus on how we relate to Zelensky in Ukraine. But the real issue is getting Putin to the table. He is gradually winning on the battlefield. He doesn't care about the casualties, which is terrible, but it's true. Having a war enables him to avoid confronting some domestic issues. That's a plus for him. And he knows that we want to end the war, and so he's bargaining very hard, and the issue is how to get him to the table. And I'm looking to see what leverage points the administration has and is willing to use. They could expand the sanctions on Russian banks, cut them off from the SWIFT system, the currency system, expand the sanctions on their oil exports, or step up military aid to Ukraine. Now, I don't think the president wants to do any of those things, but I kind of think he's going to have to if he wants to get Putin to the table to talk seriously. I mean, we can kind of make the Ukrainians accept the deal that is less than they want. The president's not going to try and make them give up their sovereignty or their right to defend themselves in the future, or let, you know, Putin have the entire 25% of the eastern part of the country that he wants. And so he's going to have to get Putin to moderate. And I'm still looking to see how he's going to do that.
Well, he's doing a lot, and we're hoping that he's got the teams that are working day and night. We speak to some of them here on the Annie Fry Show as well to try to bring all of these things to a conclusion, a positive conclusion for everybody involved. Senator Talent, right. Your expertise is always valued here. Thank you for your time today.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you again. Bye-bye. Former United States Senator from Missouri, chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council as well, former senator from Missouri, Jim Talent. When we return, we're going to speak with Will Chamberlain. Of course, he's a senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. You can go to article3project.org to learn more about that. We're going to talk to him about that Ed Martin nomination as a U.S. attorney in D.C. and the Republican senators who have said, no, we're not supporting it. We're not going to vote to confirm here. What happens if the Republicans in the Senate cannot come to the conclusion to confirm Ed Martin? Remember the name Justice Boasberg or Judge Boasberg? Excuse me. Whoa. Judge Boasberg. You remember that name? Well, Boasberg gets to appoint the fill-in for Ed Martin if the Republicans in the Senate can't get the work done. Chamberlain, Will Chamberlain, with us next to discuss. Don't go away.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A
monster shot.
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.